Amen. Well, Father, tonight, Holy Spirit, we just welcome your presence into this whole place, God. Holy Spirit, move in our midst, touch lives. Lord, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just, and we give you permission, Holy Spirit. We so need you, Holy Spirit, to touch lives, to change lives, to encourage lives, oh God. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that your hand would just be upon everybody. I just pray, God, that they would just feel your presence in this place tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that you would be lifted up in the word. I pray that you be exalted. Father, I just thank you that you are a God who does more than enough. You've done more than enough. And there's such overflow just waiting for your children to take it. So, Father, we just choose to receive it. We choose to position ourselves tonight in a place of getting all that you have for us, because in getting, we can become all that you want us to be, Lord. So, Father, we receive that and just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight what I'm going to do, I started teaching on basics of deliverance. And the reason I did that was because we had quite a few new people. So I'm wanting to lay some foundation, and I'm laying it a little bit different than I have in the past, because normally I do rejection, and I'm going to do that because I think that is a real crucial teaching in the arena of deliverance. But so many times we go through life and we have all these issues and we have all these dysfunctions and we don't figure them out, and we come to God and then we still don't figure them out because we expect God to remove every single one of them. And so we keep groping through our walk with God. And we wonder, okay, well, why isn't this working, or why don't I seem to break out of this? And it's because we don't understand he's given us authority to come out of it. And see, that's why he's given us deliverance. And those devils will make you just keep running around the block and running around the block and running around the block till you get tired of it and you say, it's done. And you, if you can't find anybody to give you deliverance, although you couldn't in this place, then just do it yourself. Start commanding some of this junk to get out of your life, and you will become free. And all of a sudden, you can even start thinking. I mean, like up here. It's like your mind begins to work, because that cloud, that fogginess, all of that junk that so tries to hinder you is removed. Okay? So you can all tell I love deliverance ministry. I just love it. And remember I told you last week, the very first miracle that Jesus did in the church, after he came out of the wilderness, is he went into the temple and he met up with a man right away that was demonized. And that demon, the first thing when it said Jesus, said, "Leave us alone. What have you to do with us, Son of God?" But I want to start, I'm going to just review a little bit. 1 John 3:8 says that for this reason, Jesus Christ, this is the whole reason Jesus was made manifest. He came to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works that the devil has done in our lives, okay? And this is Amplified Bible, but Jesus Christ literally came. So if you're here tonight and you feel like you are a mess, well, get ready to get unmessed, okay? Because God has undone, destroyed, loosen and dissolved every work the enemy has done. And so we just need to learn how to get some of that unraveled, because positionally on the cross 2,000 years ago, it was done. It's not like we have to wait for it. We have to receive it, okay? He's not going to come back, and he's not going to die on the cross again. He's not going to take your sins again. He's not going to take your sicknesses. He's not going to break you out of captivity again, because he already did. And that work that was done on the cross is still active. It's still there for us to take hold of, because Jesus did not have to go back, excuse me, year after year after year doing the same thing, because his work for us was so perfect. That substitution was so amazing that all we have to do is take an exchange of places with Jesus. He took it all for him, us. It says he was made sin, he who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God took all of our sin and poured it into Jesus. And he took all the goodness of Jesus and he poured it into us. Isn't that cool? I love that. I was amazed when I read that scripture. It's like, oh my goodness, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I think it was about a year old in the Lord then. But you know what? It is so awesome to find out what he's done for us. I talked to you a little bit about Matthew 11:12. It says, the kingdom of God has endured violent assault and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. And again, that scripture talks about the believer. The believer is the one who seizes it by force as a precious prize. And he seeks after the kingdom of God, the things that are in the kingdom, with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. In other words, you need to be aggressive in your pursuit after what God has for you, what he's already paid the price for, okay? So if you don't have it, you know, it's not your fault completely that you're in the mess you're in when we're in messes, okay? Because we get set up throughout our entire life, our generations are set up, and then we come into the world and we're set up, and it's like calamity after calamity after calamity just is dumped on us until finally we find out we don't have to put up with it anymore. We come into the kingdom and we begin to realize Jesus Christ has paid it for us. But it is your fault if you don't take the message and do something with it. All right? Now, if there's anybody in this room tonight and you have never invited Jesus Christ into your life to be your Lord and Savior, you can do that tonight. All right? It is the most easy, simplest thing. He made it so easy. He just said, here it is. And all you got to say is, yes, God, I'm taking it. I want to be your child. All right? Forgive me. I receive you. It says, to as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. When I met Jesus, you know what I said to the Lord? I just said, okay, that's it. All right, well, I'll do it, God. I didn't have this big prayer. It was just, he said to me, if you'll come, I'll help you. I was such a mess. He said, if you come, I will help you. And I just said, okay. And my whole life turned around. That's a simple prayer, isn't it? Okay. But it worked. It worked. It was, you know, and I've never been the same. For the first time in my life, I felt like I had some value. I felt like I had some worth because I was forgiven. So if you don't know Jesus tonight, do not walk out of here without him, because I'll tell you what, he is the best of anything that could ever happen in your life. He is absolutely, and he will get in there and change your life. So the devil said, Jesus went into the church, they cried out and they said, leave us alone, let us alone. And the devil still wants to be left alone. And so what I do my class for is I pray that we're going to remove every dark place, every veil, every curtain, and expose him in your life individually so you can see where he's gotten in and where he's robbing from you what rightfully belongs to you, okay? Because we go without a whole lot of things in our life, and I'm not just talking about material things. I'm talking about peace in our homes. I'm talking about your children being blessed of God and receiving what God has. See, all of that belongs to us. He's taken care of all of it. And see, so whether you see it or not, it says the kingdom of God is taken by force and the violent take it. So who are you going to get violent in taking it? You're going to get violent with the one, the devil, who has stepped in and tried to blind you from receiving what God has. And you're going to aggressively take your kingdom back, because it belongs to you, because Jesus Christ paid for it. And see, that's what I want to do, is teach you how to take it back, but also expose him. Because once light comes in, and that's what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks, I'm going to really expose the enemy in your life so you can start taking these things back. Because if we don't know, we never do anything. We become passive. And the devil loves it when we're passive. He loves it when we do nothing, because he also, you know, he knows more about the Bible than most Christians do, and he very well knows that you're the one with the authority, not him. You're the one who God put the right to rule over circumstances in this world, and it was not him. He usurped it. He stole it, but Jesus took it back and gave it back to us. But the church has to wake up to that, and we are, but we're going to start taking back. Remember, I told you that. But then we go to what our mandate was. The mandate has never changed. In Genesis 1:26, Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit said, let us make man in our image. That means exactly like us. Make us with the same abilities, the same right to rule, the same spirit, and let them have dominion over the earth. Let them have the right to rule, and then let them subdue it. And that was a mandate, and it was a command. So we've been given that, and the mandate still stands for us even today. So then our mandate, number one, is to take our own lives back. So that's what I want you to tell you. You need to start. What you need to do is you need to look at your life, the mess it's in. And, you know, I'm not trying to say your life's a mess, but how many of you know most of our lives? It's just being honest. We deal with some stuff. And see, when we thank God, we can realize that I don't have to have this dysfunction. I don't have to have this mess anymore. And it's kind of like going in and cleaning out your closet. You know, you might dig in here and think, oh, I don't need this anymore, and you throw it out, but then you still got a mess over here. So it might take you a little while to clean out the closet of your life. And when you start cleaning out the closet of your life, then you can start cleaning out the closet of your offspring. And then it's going to affect every area of your life. It'll even affect your finances. It will affect every area of your life. So our mandate, number one, is start with ourselves, okay? Because if I am, see, the reason we have all this junk, see, the devil has a plan, he has a scheme. That's what the gates of hell mean. And Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And the gates of hell means the schemes and the counsels and plans of hell that are against us. And so when we see what those schemes are against us, we can then begin to destroy them. And that's what God wants us to do. So that once those plans are destroyed against us, then we can go out and help other people. See, when we went through deliverance, then things changed and God began to shift our lives to go out and help other people. And we haven't arrived. We're not perfect. We still clean stuff out. But we've come a long way. Hallelujah. Okay, so our mandate is, first of all, killing up our own lives. And then we can go out and invade and occupy and subdue the world. Today, now this is a good one. You might want to even write this down. Today, salvation guarantees. It's a guarantee for you. Today, salvation guarantees that we can achieve God's original plan to subdue and exercise dominion under God over this entire world system in our lives individually. And once we begin, I didn't hear what you said. Oh, say it again. Okay. Today, salvation guarantees. Okay, so that's why you want to get saved tonight. Not the only reason. There's multiple reasons. Number one is you need Jesus. You ain't going to get to heaven without Jesus. Okay, God does not send anybody to hell. He doesn't. He went and he paid the whole price. He took all of our sin, all of our judgments, so we didn't have to go. But it's like, you know what, if we have this gift over here and we ignore this gift, we don't get there. And whose fault is it then? It's ours. So salvation guarantees that we can achieve God's original mandate to subdue and exercise dominion under God over this world system in our lives. So what's going on in your life that you need to take authority over? Jesus said, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Mark 11:23. So he didn't say, if you ask me to speak to your mountain, I'll speak to it. He said, no. Whosoever will say to it. So God puts responsibility on us individually, okay? Now he couldn't do that if we were left in a place or a position of the enemy being over us, but the enemy's not over us anymore. We're over him. He is under our feet. He's positioned under our feet. And Ephesians 2:6, because Jesus Christ has been positioned at the right hand of the Father, and the church is right there with him. And if we are his body, then even his feet, the devil's under our feet, isn't it? So we have the authority to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. That is a hallelujah. And then as we walk in our freedom, our liberty that comes through deliverance, the kingdom of God then begins to manifest in our life. And that is another reason why you want to get deliverance in your life. We have seen more of the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God manifest in our life since we've walked through the deliverance. I've always believed everything God said in the book. Always. But sometimes I would kind of wonder why I wasn't getting a hold of it. You know? Because I knew it was mine. But I didn't know why I wasn't getting it. And so once we started going through deliverance, what amazed me was that all this blockage that was out here in the spirit realm, which we don't see it, but it's there, that hindered us from laying hold of what God had for us, once that stuff started being consistently removed. And I mean consistently removed. Get that word. I'm going to add to that in a minute. Once it began to be consistently removed, all the goods started coming towards us. In the beginning, when we started tithing, we started being blessed. But when we got into deliverance and started removing obstacles, then the blessings were even more free to come to us. You see? So you'll be amazed at what God will begin to do. It's like a domino, and you hit that domino and it just starts going and it starts coming to you. All that God has. So liberty, which comes through the deliverance, will begin to manifest the kingdom of God in your life. Liberty then is freedom for you to choose, and liberty is dominion. So the more free we get, the more we're going to be able to rule and reign in our lives. Now let me add to this. If you've got bondage in your life, and you do, and I know you do, because everybody has bondage in their life. So if you have bondage in your life, I tell you what, I would be sitting in this class every week. You couldn't get rid of me. You couldn't. I've never been able to get rid of Vicki Brown. I'm not just teasing her. Vicki has chased down and chased down deliverance. But that's what she says. You know, Bev, you're not going to get rid of me. She said the first time she came to me and said, Bev, I want to hang out with you. She said, I don't remember this, but she said, you just turned around and looked at me like, what? But which isn't true, but I probably look that way. But you know what? Be like that. She is always pounding. She refuses to give up, and more and more and more is removed. And Vicki has no idea of what she's laying up to be, like it's a landslide getting ready to come to Vicki. It really is to Vicki, because she's been pounding. And not only does she pound, not only does she come to get free, and she's got like stories, and so does Nancy, of sitting out here where when we do our corporate deliverance and being set free from spirits of fear and all sorts of different things that have operated in the generations, you see. But as they've pressed in, not only have they received freedom and received breakthrough in their house, but now they're on the team, and they're good deliverance ministers. So now they're in a place of also all that sowing, and you reap it back. You see, so you get so much more, and when you get it off of you, it's this liberty that will allow the kingdom of God to manifest in your life so you can get it manifested in others' lives. So if you want to be a minister, that's really easy. Get delivered. Start learning what can hinder you, and then work with us to get it off of you. All right? And it will go. It has no option. The devil's defeated. You are not the defeated foe. You are victorious in Christ Jesus. You're the one. But see, if we allow the devil to keep us in bondage, okay, then we just kind of go through life like this. And we're not free to receive, to be what he's called us to be. And I'll tell you what, that's why I love deliverance, because it is so set our house free. And like I said, we've not arrived, but we've arrived. Because it's also positioned me in a place of faith that I know that I know that I know. And I know what belongs to me. And I have the authority to speak. I have the authority to declare. And when a king declares, it has no option but to happen. You see? So there are things that, yes, I am still waiting on, but they're already mine. I've already called them out. I already claimed them. But see, I would not have ever been in that place to be able to even have the faith to believe that when I was in so much bondage. Okay? Last week, I started talking about different types of spirits in the Word of God. And so I'm just going to quickly go over. I only got over like a couple of them. But I'm going to go over them again tonight. Just the ones I did. And then we're going to finish them. And then I'm also going to go into working with you to kind of show you where doors could be opened in your life. So you can start recognizing even things out of your generations that would open up doors to the oppression of the enemy. All right? And it's not like anybody's trying to expose you. What you want is you want the devil exposed so you can get him out. See, the devil has done a really good job of making us feel guilty and ashamed so that we hide. And then he's also done a good job of the body judging one another so that we feel we have to continually hide everything. But the more you're willing to say, devil, that's not mine. The shame, the guilt, the condemnation. See, Jesus took all that on the cross. Amen. You know, he was naked on the cross so he could fully claim carry our shame. That's whether it's sexual shame or any other type of shame. Jesus took it. If it was on the cross, it doesn't belong to you. And I'll tell you what, if you're carrying shame or guilt or condemnation, that would really tick me off if it was me. And I just told you that. I'd say, devil, I am done with this. You know, we need to get fed up, and we need to get, like, remember that old commercial, don't get mad, get glad? We can get glad over the cross, but get mad at the devil and get him out of your life. Say, no, you won't anymore. I'm done. If it was on the cross and you have it, it's there illegally. Jesus paid for it for you. So the first one we looked at last week, and let me just kind of go over them, was wicked spirits. And the term spiritual wickedness talks about it being in high places, and these spirits are set on evil purposes in a person's life or in a country or in a nation. They cause maliciousness. They cause trouble. They're troublemakers. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and ruler spirits in heavenly places. So when you're dealing with them, again, come back to you as a person. What's going on in your life? Is there a lot of problems, trouble, malicious things going on in your life? Right there, you see those things going on, but you have authority over them. So when you find out you have authority and you have prayer teams up here, we do the corporate deliverance, then you just come into alignment or get up here for prayer and we will help you start breaking them off of your lives. When we help you start breaking them off of your lives, your children are going to start getting free. Your generations are going to start getting free. You know, one of the reasons it takes us a while is because our generations have done nothing. Because they've sat in churches year after year after year that said, oh, well, we don't do deliverance anymore. See, the number one ministry, what do you think the devil wants to hide? Because that's what gets him out. It evicts him. You see, but when you have that opportunity again, you will literally affect your generations. And it's amazing. It's, you know, I'll tell you what, my grandkids sure do a whole lot better than even my kids did. You know, because it's starting to be consistent. And we are getting more and more out of our bloodline. We're even behaviors and mindsets. They start being removed when you start removing that. So it's not even about just you. It's about your generations. It's about the future generations, all right? So anyway, and then the spirit of Jezebel. And again, I've said before that Jezebel doesn't mean a woman. There was Jezebel and Ahab. Now, I don't normally see Ahab being anything but normally. I'm not trying to hit on men, but it's the male guy, the man. But it's a passive spirit. So if you're real passive as a woman, I suppose you could have like an Ahab spirit, get up and do nothing spiritually. You see what I'm saying? So we sometimes need to just shake this stuff off of us and get up and move it with it. But Jezebel is more on the line of a control spirit. They endeavor to control through fear. In fact, it's a form of witchcraft. But you know, if you are a parent or a leader or in any kind of position and you're always controlling people, more than likely you are controlling out of fear. Fear is a root of control. And so I used to do that all the time. And that's how, you know, and it's witchcraft, because witchcraft controls. And, you know, I used to, you know, I had one kid, I'd literally sit on this kid. I would wrestle this kid. And he was like this, and I'm like, you know, but I wasn't going to let him, that's controlling. That's not faith at all, is it? Not at all, you see? Why was I trying to do that? Because I was so afraid he was going to make wrong decisions. And so what I would do by doing that, what I would just force him to have to fight with me, because you can't do that to a human being, you know? Now, that's maybe kind of extreme, but how about the little things in your life that you're always trying to control? And if you are always trying to control everything because stuff is out of control, you probably do need some deliverance, but you're also probably not trusting the Lord to help you. And you're probably not casting that care over onto Jesus. And you can never give him a care that he won't take care of for you, because he tells you to do that. So if you cast it over onto him, I guarantee you he'll take care of it for you. Just leave it there. Okay, a wounded spirit. Now this is huge, because this is one of, I think, the devil's biggest ploys against people, and it's also one of the most common thing. It says in Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? So what we look at with that type of thing, normally a wound is something deep inside of a person. It makes them feel inferior, insecure, rejected, like you have no value, intimidated. You're afraid to stand up to anything because you're always intimidated because you've had that beaten somehow in you, whether it's physical, verbal, sexual, emotional abuse, okay? But God wants you free from that. And once you start experiencing freedom from woundedness, it has probably got one to be one of the most amazing. You have been given such great value that Jesus Christ came and went through what he did just for you. That's your value. But yet the devil, through your entire life, until you learn some of these things, is going to want to beat you down and give you no value and intimidate you. But you can throw that off also. Jesus, the Bible says, is the healer of the brokenhearted. So if you've got a broken heart tonight, if you've got woundedness on the inside, God wants to go into those places in your heart and heal them. And he is so able to do that. And when you experience that too, that is just amazing. The soul of man is the mind, the will, the personality. And that's normally where we deal with most of the woundedness. Then there's a spirit of oppression. The Bible talks about a spirit of oppression. That speaks of a spirit that wants to oppress. When one feels oppressed, like things weighed heavily down on you, it can be depression. It can be being overwhelmed with things. It can make you like maybe you feel, do you know, I think you could be oppressed with a disease. Because a disease wants to hold you down, all right? Any kind of a thing. Maybe a controlling husband or a controlling wife or children that, you know, children can control the home just as much as a parent can. See, those are oppressing spirits along with some control spirits and the other things too. But we have authority over those. And a lot of times we deal with stuff in our homes that we could cast out of our homes. Okay? And so, and let me tell you this too. No human being on this earth has the right to oppress you or control you. Our control is from the Lord. God is the one who's to be over our lives. You know, and God doesn't control us either. He gives us a choice, doesn't he? You see? So control is an evil spirit. So if you're controlling another life, if you're making decisions for everybody in your house all the time, you need to just plain back off and repent and come up and get delivered. Or when we start calling this out, say, all right, God, I'm guilty of that, but I'm going to repent and I'm going to get it out. And I'm going to share with you a little bit as we go, if I don't get it to it tonight, how to just release those things. It's so easy. Do you know deliverance is not this harsh, chaotic, get thrown up against the wall, roll on the floor, foam at the mouth? Let me tell you why. Because the devil's been defeated. You see? So therefore, we're in charge, and we do not have to allow him. Once legal rights are broken, he has to come out easy. And that's not an option, okay? But when you know your authority and you understand your authority and the rights are broken over him, and how do you break rights? Okay, it's really simple. You repent and you renounce. If you've dabbled in things you shouldn't have dabbled in, repent and renounce it. Bible says to renounce the works of darkness. If you've even done like some of these things that I'm talking about, like controlling, or, you know, I personally feel if you've been wounded, in your life, you want to repent for that. And the reason you want to repent for that is that it's normally not your fault, but you're the one that's bearing it. And so if you'll get forgiveness on that thing, even though someone else may have done it to you, it breaks the power of sin of that to keep going on in your life. And you renounce it. When you renounce it, that's like coming out of agreement with it. And we need to come out of agreement with being a victim. We need to come out of agreement with walking through life wounded and bound by what someone else did to us. Because I'll tell you what, who wants to walk their entire life through being under the thumb of some maybe predator in your life? And when I say predator, I'm not just talking about sexual predator, but that happens many, many times. But how about any type of that, like any type of abuse? See, you have to choose, I will not be a victim of this. And the way you do it is begin to start releasing those things. And number one, releasing the person that maybe in any way violated you. All right? We don't fight with each other. We take and step into the place of exercising our authority. So that's a spirit of oppression. And that would be someone who feels also distressed, trampled down, overpowered, subdued. You know, we're supposed to subdue. The devil's not supposed to subdue us. Trouble on every side of your life, crushed and pressed down. If you're dealing with trouble every time you turn around, it's coming in this direction, it's coming in that direction, then you may need to take authority over a spirit of oppression and cast it out. Okay? I told you last week, your deliverance is your responsibility. It's not mine, it's yours. I'm exposing it. We're praying for you because we will stand in that place of authority. But you have to choose that you are going to get this off of yourself. And again, if you're doing things, and I don't know why I'm getting on this so much tonight, but if you are controlling another person's life, you need to choose tonight to stop. Repent for it and get rid of it. Because it will hinder you. It's witchcraft, but it will hinder you from walking in what God has for you. Let it go. You aren't going to change another person. God will change that other person. But if you hold them under your control, you keep them from the Lord. See, so you need to let God have that. Okay, so that was it. All right, it says in Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with power, who went about doing good and healing all, A-L-L, that were oppressed of the devil. Next would be a spirit of bondage. The Greek word for bondage is doulon, which can be like a slave. A slave is one who is subject to the will of another. Many have been enslaved by a spirit of bondage. You can be enslaved to cocaine, to marijuana, heroin, alcohol, swearing, anger, bitterness. You see? But for this purpose, Jesus Christ came to undo that. Okay? And it says again in Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Okay, so again, you don't have to be in bondage. You know, we sing that in church, no more chains holding me. And then, yet, how many people walk out of here held in chains? You see, but we don't have to. Okay? A sorrowful spirit. This would be like a person that deals with sorrow and sadness all the time in their life. Some people can weep and cry. It can almost like come into like a depression. This can come in from something that's happened in our past. It can be the loss of a loved one. It can be a separation, divorce, a breakup in relationships. It could be children who have left home. It could be somebody who dies. Okay, can be an abortion. You know how many young women deal with sorrow over an abortion? Let me tell you this. Jesus took your sorrow for that. And Jesus forgave you for, if you had an abortion, you're forgiven. And if you had an abortion, your baby is with Jesus. And if you know him, you will be joined again with that child someday. Okay? And so there's no unforgiveness in heaven. Your child will receive you with open arms, you know. So you have to choose to move past that. Reason being is that if you stay in the bondage that the devil has endeavored, his schemes against you, then you'll never be free to walk in the fullness of Christ. You'll never be free to help other people. But you know what? Even like that with you, if you've had an abortion and you get that broke off of you, think of those that you can help. Because, I mean, when we think of how many women have had abortions in just this country alone, it's huge. So we have a lot of people out there who are broken, full of guilt and condemnation and sorrow. But Jesus took all of that for you, that you can exchange that and you can walk in peace again. Okay? So don't let the devil, who actually so overwhelmed you with a pregnancy that you felt you had to get rid of it, don't allow him to hold you under his thumb anymore, but receive forgiveness for it, okay? But anyway, also don't grieve over if you've, maybe somebody's left you, you know, good riddance. I'm just kidding. I need to just behave up here. Probably, though, it might have been good riddance. Don't break the ungodly soul tie. You know, they probably didn't realize what a treasure they had. And, yeah, move on, all right? Just move on. Especially, you know, and I'm not saying you can't believe if your marriage is broken. I'm not saying you can't believe for your marriage to be restored, okay? But sometimes there comes a place where you may not want to restore that marriage. So I'm just saying, all right? But don't let what somebody else does to you dictate the rest of your life. Don't sit under that, but get free. All right? Okay. Spirit of fear. It says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Fear is a weapon that the enemy uses to attack faith. Spirit of fear will paralyze you and cause you to make irrational decisions. Fear can be so crippling. It has numbers of linking spirits that go with it, such as intimidation, anxiety, panic, paranoia. All of those stem out of a spirit of fear, and that can be crippling. It can be dread. It can be fear of the future, fear of flying, fear of all sorts of different things. There's numerous spirits of fear, but the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. So if your mind is tormented by fear of what might happen, you need to get rid of that. It causes confusion. You can't think. You're indecisive. You're always afraid of making the wrong decision. The Bible says that if you lack wisdom, that if you will ask him for wisdom, he will give it to you liberally. So therefore, if I ask for wisdom, I'm not going to stay in fear. I'm going to declare I have wisdom and I make right decisions. You see? So we again make that choice where we're going to position ourselves, but you have authority over fear. So if you're dealing with fear tonight, you need to get rid of it. You need to just say, I refuse it, and cast it out. Spirit of insanity. It says in Luke 8:27, it says, and when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and he had no clothes, neither abode in his house, but he lived in the tombs. And that was Lazarus. And Lazarus basically would probably today be in a mental institution full of drugs, so he couldn't do nothing. That's what they do. But see, it was all demons. And when he was delivered, he had a sound mind. You see? So a lot of people who deal with insanity, mental disorders, a lot of that is nothing more than spirits that are coming against you, interfering in the mind, okay? And you can be delivered of that. Luke 8:27. All right, that was the scripture. Drugs, Prozac, Zoloft, Wellbutrin, all these various drugs will cover it. They won't remove it. Jesus can remove it from you, okay? This is the way it works. And we have a guy, I may have him share his testimony sometime with you, who was on numerous drugs for mental things and depression. He's off of every single one of them. Even had seizures. He has no more seizures. And you know, some of these drugs actually help provoke the seizures, but he didn't have any of that from going through deliverance. Okay, a spirit of despair. The word heaviness is from the Hebrew word kehe. It's K-E-H-E-H, and it means dark, dim, depressed, weak, faint. Despair makes a person feel like they have no more hope. We're at the end. And Jesus said in Isaiah 61:3, it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So that heavy thing that sits on you, he says, I've taken and given you joy for that, that you might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Then there's also a spirit of injury. That's Mark 9:22. And basically what that would do would be a person who is always having accidents, always having injuries, breaking arms, breaking legs, falling down, hitting their head, cutting them, you know what I'm saying? And there are people that really are like that. They constantly have accidents. And that's something that needs to be broken off of them, and it can. And we've seen that happen over and over and over, where people get free from that. And that's where they take this is out of Mark 9:22. It says, oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waves to destroy him, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion and help us. A spirit of infirmity. Infirmity is weakness, disease, or sickness. This is commonly associated with causing sickness or a strange fatigue. An infirmity can be sickness or disease, a crippling spirit, a physical malfunction. And it says, behold, there was a woman which had an infirmity for 18 years. She was bowed over and could in no way lift herself up. That's Luke 13:11. It says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Jesus took our infirmities and bore all of our sicknesses. That's why when sickness tries to come on me, I remember what that verse right there says. Jesus took all my infirmities and all my sicknesses. Therefore, it doesn't belong to me. You can take it. And you know what? Let me challenge you. If you deal with sickness or any of this, actually anything, if it was on the cross, it doesn't belong to you. And you need to get it off of you because it's there illegally. Who wants to be sick and diseased? You know, when I got into the deliverance, what I started doing was casting out every disease known to my family. Because those are all things that want, you know, especially heart problems, high blood pressure, heart failure, clogged arteries, you know. Start breaking that off your life and command it to go. And I say this, but I'd have been dead a number of years ago had I followed my mother's footsteps, because she died at a young age, and so did all her brothers and sisters. All the same thing, one heart issue after another. So that would be my clue, wouldn't it? I needed to deal with it. See, look at your background, and what are some things that have gone on in your family? You have authority over those things. Arthritis? You know, look what's been in your generations, and start commanding those spiritual forces of infirmity. Jesus took all your infirmities and all your sicknesses and all your diseases. And so you need to position yourself. As I said this last week, because I had come against arthritis in my own body. And what I decided to do was, if it wanted to remind me that it was there, then it was going to deal with me. And what I did was, every time I felt a pain, I was stiff, I spoke to that and commanded it to go. It took me 2 weeks, and it was completely gone. Okay? But what are you dealing with that you tolerate? So you need to quit tolerating that, and you need to, with your authority, begin to speak. Okay? Your authority comes out of your mouth. Kings speak. All right? So you begin to speak to these things. And you stand there. Bible says, having done all to stand, stand. So in other words, who's going to move? You are the sickness. But you're the one that decides that. You're the one that takes the authority over it. Same way with really anything. Debt. Debt is a spirit, by the way. Do you ever notice how it wants to consume and eat you up? You need to take authority over debt. And if you do deal with debt, you know, there is a place where you need to do some things correctly in the natural, but you need to start taking authority in the spirit realm so you can start breaking that off of yourself. I do that consistently. I declare we have no debt, no debt in the name of Jesus. Those are things that I speak to as mountains, okay? And we figure we're going to have every debt cleared here pretty soon. And we've just been going after it. The more we have positioned ourselves to speak it and to take care of it, the more we've had come in to take care of it. See, it's like it opens doors, you see? I also declare that my children are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. They all live for God, and he delivers the seed of the righteous. You got to be saying these things. You're kings. It says he's the king of kings. We are positioned in a place of authority, and what we demand will be done. Now, I'm not demanding of God, because he's already freely given me everything. I don't have to demand of him, but I do have to demand the devil to get his hands off of things that rightly belong to me. All right? Okay, a spirit of slumber, that would work with people who actually, it's like a stupor, and that can also be on people who just can't seem to get it in their mind with the things of God or any other area. If you know, I used to minister to a lady. This is even before I did deliverance, but so I didn't really know what I was. I didn't really know how to get her free. But anyway, every time I would, I was teaching her this book, The Name of Jesus. It's by Kenneth Hagin. And you know what? It's an old book, but I'd get it if I were you and study that book. It's the authority in his name. And so when we'd study that book, she'd fall to sleep on me every time. Never. I mean, she wouldn't even be tired. You could pour coffee down her and she'd be fine till you started dealing with the name of Jesus. You see, that spirit would want to put her out. Sometimes we're praying with people doing deliverance and they fall asleep on you while you're doing deliverance for them. And it's like, uh-uh. You see, but that thing wants to put them out to disengage them from working with you, so to speak. Okay? So the spirit of slumber, and it works to blind those and to keep us in a place where we reject truth from God. In Isaiah 29:10, it says, "For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and he's closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers he has covered. According as it is written," Romans 11:8, "God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day." Another spirit is a spirit of jealousy. To be jealous means to be resentful or envious of another. It causes one to be suspicious of another one's activities. It causes people to be competitive, to try to always gain what another one has, and then you're always dissatisfied with what you have. Okay? So what you can do with that is start commanding that spirit of jealousy out of you. You can start commanding that envy and that suspicion and that distrust. Speak to those things and go after them consistently, and they will go. All of a sudden, you'll watch yourself, and you're not operating like you used to be. And that's cool. You know, because you know what? We don't want to do sometimes some of the things. Even like Paul said, I do what I don't want to do. And, you know, we don't, sometimes we do things we don't want to do. But it's because we are almost like actually in this place of slumber where we aren't motivated to do what we need to do to get this off. And allow that lack of motivation or fatigue and weariness and tiredness are spiritual forces that want to keep you like this so you don't do anything. But you have, and so you may need to take authority over that. There are lazy spirits. There's spirits of fatigue and tiredness. And those would be things that, like, even beyond normal, you're so tired all the time. You know, start casting that off of yourself. And I'm not telling you that there's probably might be a place to that. You're not taking care of your physical body. You need to take care of this body too. All right? But even in that, with that, you can start taking authority over those things and get to the place where you stop tolerating some of these things that we're talking about. Anger, jealousy, envy, bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, control, fear. Those are things, paranoia, that we can speak to in our lives and start casting them out of our lives. You can start casting out things that you see operating in your generations. And when you start casting them out, let me tell you this too, bondages that are on your children will start breaking down and going. Because you're consistently, and it's important to be consistent. Because sometimes the devil will try you to just see how far you will go. And it's like, well, we'll wait him out. Don't let him wait you out. You make him go. You see? But when you start doing it, you know, then finally somebody steps in and says, the buck stops right here with me, and this is stopping in my generations. And there are some things that you're going to heavily go after sometimes. I know we have. We've still got some things we're still dealing with, but they're getting less and less and less, you know? And sometimes, you know, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I just kind of get a little bit like, busy running around here and there and doing that, and then God will pull me up and say, no, you need to keep hitting at that, and you start hitting at it again, and you'll watch it break down. You'll watch freedom start coming into your house. You can do that with your marriage, okay? Being your one, you can start coming against things in your marriage, okay? Instead of putting up with them, being passive with it, being contentious and full of strife over it, what's going on in the house? You have authority over it. Okay, a perverse spirit. The word perverse means literally that which goes contrary to what's right. That's all that it means. Contrary to what's correct and what's right. So perverse can go not just sexual. We think of a perverse spirit as an unclean sexual spirit, but it can be rebellion. It can be anything. It can be a stubborn, obstinate disobedience. You know, it could be gossip and complaining. Those are perverse. They're not what we were intended to do, are they? You see? So perverse entails a whole lot of things that are operating contrary. Sickness can be perverse. Because sickness, you were not made to be sick. And you were not made to be weak and have cancer and heart problems and diabetes. Your organs were made to function in the perfection, Psalm 138:8, that God created them to function in. And who will start standing up and taking back the land? You see, we tolerate so much junk. So look in your house. What's going on in the house? What have you seen from generation to generation that you can start taking authority over those things, evicting those unwanted spirits, and make them leave from your house? Now, whether you see everybody else in your house change or not has nothing to do with the fact that if you are taking authority, it's working. Because there's so much going on in this spirit realm you don't see. But the Bible says, my word is like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock of most stubborn resistance. Well, which time when I hit it, does it take it out? Every single time I hit it. It's all working towards the destruction of that rock of resistance in our lives. And when we have had generational things that have gone on and on for years and years and years, and nobody's ever dealt with them, they've got some roots in our lives, behaviors, mindsets, because you know what? The enemy goes beyond just a demonic spirit that has access in, but he's also developed the way you think. Remember, I've said before, some of you would remember this, I grew up with anger and bitterness and alcohol and rejection raising me. That's who raised me. Because those were four major things my father, and poverty was there too, that would be another one, operated in my parents. So that's what nurtured me. That's what programmed me. You know, when we started tithing and God started blessing us, I was so fearful over every bill that came in. I would be paranoid with our finances all the time because I grew up in so much poverty. So I literally one day, one summer, looked up every scripture I could on trust because I thought, I just do not trust God. And we were doing well financially because we'd been doing what we needed to do, but I was still so fearful of it, okay? But when we got again into this deliverance and I got into the Word of God, you see, it was like that hammer that began to break it in pieces. So again, which blow, every single one you deal to the enemy is going to cause its foundations to break. You see, so that's why you don't give up. That's why you get in there and you hammer it. You say, devil, you are leaving. You are getting out in the name of Jesus. You just need to get ticked off. Get done with it. Get fed up with the garbage. And like I say, even if it's with your kids, best time to get your deliverance in your house is when your kids are little. But what do you do when they're growing up? And you might have even done some of the damage, all right? That's there. You still go after it. You're the matriarch and patriarch of your house. You still declare. And you know, even if it's things they've added to their lives and it's not generational, you still, in the spirit realm, have a degree of covering over them. And you can stand that gap. Because all the devil is really waiting on is for somebody to challenge him and take back the land. In the Old Testament, when God commissioned the Israelites to go in and possess the land, that word possess, look up in your dictionary what possess means. It means dispossess. So he told them, go in and dispossess every enemy. So go in and start dispossessing areas of your lives, areas of your children's lives, that business, finances, that the enemy has somehow gotten in because we maybe didn't know what we are learning now, and start taking them back. That's why I've said to you, we have come a long ways. We've not arrived, but we are pretty aggressive. We write prayers out. We pray. We agree together. We take authority, you see? And so we've taken back a lot of our land. And I love it. God meant for you to be champions. Maria taught on that a few weeks ago. You were made to be victorious, not under the devil's garbage. And it's 8:30, so I'm going to quit because I don't want to hold you guys too long. We're going to look at a spirit of divination and familiar spirits. And then next week, I'm going to show you exactly what you would do to go through and get delivered. And we will probably do some corporate deliverance again next week. But tonight, this is what I'm going to have you do. I'm just going to pray over you. And Lauren, do you have anything you want to get up and doing? Okay. All right. What I'm going to have you do then is I'm going to dismiss you. But I want you to go home and meditate. Hopefully you took some notes. And think about these things and start taking some authority in your house, all right? And then I want my team to come on up. And even if you're new on my team, come on up and we'll put you with some of the other ones that are a little more experienced, okay? So those of you that maybe don't think you know what you're doing, there's Vicky, there's John, there's Lou, Evelyn, Lauren, Brian, Deanie, come up. And I don't want Deanie and Vicky together. We need you separate. Well, maybe if I have some that I need. Zaranda, Sharon, who else is out there that's been just getting started with? If I didn't name you, still come on up. And so if you guys want prayer for, and we'll stand with you, we'll start breaking some of that stuff off, okay? So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, I declare your blessing on your people tonight. Father, I declare that this word, the seed of God, will not go void in one life in the name of Jesus, but God, it will go forth and begin to work in their lives. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I command the devil to get his hands. Every cohort, every imp that he has raised up against these people, I bind them in the name of Jesus. And I declare that the plans and schemes of the enemy are broken. I declare that for this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest to undo debt, sickness, disease, rebellious children, addictions, every bit of it, breakups in families, divorce. In the name of Jesus, I declare for this purpose. Now, if I didn't name what you have, you name it. He came to undo, dissolve, and God, we declare and we release that manifestation right now. And I command every work of darkness broken off in the name of Jesus. I speak to infirmities. I speak to fear. I speak to bondages. I speak to mental illness. I speak to noise, even in the head. I speak to confusion, and I command it to go in the name of Jesus. I command mental torment to go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, take a deep breath and release that. All that mental torment, I call it out right now. In the name of Jesus, all the voices, vain imaginations, come out. Negative thought patterns, go in the name of Jesus. Loosen, let go. All that fear, all that anxiety, all that panic, come out. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I pray that you bless them coming in and bless them going out. I speak healing over your bodies. I call you healed by Jesus' stripes. I declare that he bore all your infirmities. I declare you are quickened and made alive by the Spirit of God that dwells within you. And I bless you in the name of Jesus. Now, if there's anyone in here and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be the Lord of your life, I release you in a minute to come up. I want you to come on up and pray with one of these people, and they will lead you to Jesus so that you will be able to operate in that authority. If you're here and you've not been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we are here to pray with you for that. If you have any form of bondage or hurt or woundedness or anything that I even talked about tonight, come up, okay, and get prayer. Other than that, you're dismissed. And we'll see you next week, okay? God bless.